We read from 2 Samuel this morning for our scripture reading. If you put the Bible in chronological order, 2 Samuel is near the end of David's life. In fact, that chapter 23 starts out by saying, "Now these be the last words of David." And starting in verse 8, the Bible lists the mighty men who served with David, a group of men who were strong, who had courage, who had determination, who were loyal to King David and who loved King David, and they fought. They fought the battles that David fought, and they won great victories for their God, for their nation, and for their king. Now, we read the story of two of those men. One of them, Adino, Adam said it different than I do, but the Bible says he lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And then we read the story of Eleazar. He was the son of Dodo. When I was growing up, one of my best friends across the street couldn't say Daryl. He had a speech impediment. In fact, we were in speech class together, and believe it or not, he called me Dodo. I was Dodo. His name was Virgil, but I was Dodo. But he was one of David's three mighty men. So David and Eleazar and two others stood to fight. The Bible says all the other men of Israel fled. In other words, they thought the odds were against them, and so they left. And these four men fought the Philistine army that day. In fact, they defeated it. They won the battle. And the Bible says about Eleazar that he held his sword until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And what the Bible is saying is he fought so long with that sword and he held it so tight that when the battle was over, he tried to open it his hand and he couldn't. It was sort of locked in place for a while. I don't know if he had to massage it or what he had to do, but he couldn't let go of the sword. He held on to the sword, and they won a great victory that day. Now, the Bible says in that last verse we read, verse 10, that the people came back and followed Eleazar, not into battle, but to gather the spoil, of their victory. Now, his story is in the Bible for a purpose. I believe that God, everything that is in this book is for a reason. It's not just an exciting story to realize that four men defeated a whole Philistine army, but it has some valuable lessons and wonderful lessons for us. You see, we are still engaged in battles today. In the story, David and Israel and Eleazar was fighting the Philistines. And the Philistines was an enemy of Israel throughout their history. When Elijah was the high priest, the Philistines went into battle. The Israelites went into battle against the Philistines, and Israel lost. And the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant back to their land. Now, God cursed their land because they took the Ark of the Covenant. But they were an enemy back in Eli's day. Samson fought the Philistines. You remember his battle. He took a jawbone of an ass one time and killed 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of an ass. When Saul was king of Israel, David, as a little teenage boy, took his slingshot and killed the champion of the Philistines, Goliath. And then when David became king, they continued to fight the Philistines. So the Philistines were an enemy that the nation of Israel fought many times. They fought the Philistines over and over and over again. It was like a perpetual enemy. Well, I want to remind you this morning that we also have a perpetual enemy. We have an enemy that we fight over and over and over again. His name is Satan. His name is the devil. In 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." Satan is one of those rulers. Satan is an enemy that Christians have been fighting throughout their history. We've been fighting against them since the beginning of the world. Those that believe in God have been fighting this enemy since the beginning of the world. And so we are fighting, as the book of Ephesians says, we are fighting against the rulers of the darkness of this world. So in that same passage, God tells us, the Bible tells us, to take the weapons and the armor of God and put it on for this fight. It says we ought to gird our loins with truth. We ought to take the breastplate of righteousness. We ought to shod our feet with the gospel of peace. Put on, take on the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. And all of those things that I just mentioned are sort of defensive weapons. They're things that we put on for our defense. They're things that we put on to protect ourselves. In that passage, there's only one offensive weapon mentioned. And that offensive weapon that's mentioned is the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God. The sword. The Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, "For the Word of God is alive, is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So, I'm going to put it all together. We're fighting a perpetual enemy, an enemy that Christians have fought since the beginning of the world. God has given us armor to wear. He's also given us a sword to fight with. And just like Eleazar fought the Philistines, a perpetual enemy of Israel, the Bible says his hand clave to the sword. He was holding on to his sword so tight and for so long that when the battle was open, he couldn't get his hand off the sword. His hand clave to the sword. I just have a one-point message this morning. Now, there's three parts, but there's only one point. But a one-point message this morning, and here's the point. You cleave to the sword. You hang on to the sword. You grab hold of this book, and as you fight the devil, as you fight the enemy of every Christian, you hang on to this sword. Listen, Jesus was the Son of God. He had the power of God. When he walked the face of this earth, he did lots of miracles. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He calmed the storms. He made the blind man see. In Matthew chapter 4, he had a 3-round fight with the devil. And in every one of those rounds, what did the all-powerful, omnipotent Son of God use to defeat the devil? He used the sword of God. He used the Word of God. In all 3 of those rounds, he says, "It is written." And then he quoted from the Bible to tell Satan to go back to where he came from. Now, I want to be clear this morning. When I say cleave to the sword, I'm not talking about the RIV, the NIV, the HIV, the New King James. I'm not talking, I don't know if there is an HIV, I just threw that in there to see if you were listening. I'm glad you're listening. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about your old King James Bible. I'm talking about the Bible that my grandpa and my grandma used, that's been used for hundreds of years, that I got saved by. That's the sword I'm talking about. That's the word I'm looking. Look. Suppose Eleazar is getting ready to go into battle against those Philistines, and somebody comes up to him and says, "Eleazar, got a new sword for you. It's a little bit lighter. You'll be able to yield it a little bit more." You know what he'd say? "No way, Jose. I've proved this sword in the past. I'm sticking with this one." Suppose he was in the middle of that battle and somebody came. Say, "Hey, in your hand getting tired? Wouldn't you like to try this new sword now? It's probably better than the one you got." He'd say, "What's the matter with you? Don't you see all these dead Philistines lying around? This one works. I'm going to hang on to this one." And at the end of the battle, somebody might have said, "Hey, your hand's cleaving to the sword. If you would have used this new one, your hand probably wouldn't be so tired." He would have said, "I don't care if my hand's tired or not. I'm hanging on to this one. This one works. I proved it. I'm not going to change. My hand's going to cleave to this sword." Keep your hand on the sword. Hang on to the sword. Here's my 3 parts. 1 point, hang on to the sword. Cleave your hand to the sword. Here's 3 parts. Hang on to the sword for your salvation. You can't get saved apart from this book. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then it says in Romans 10:17, so then faith, the faith by which we're saved, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to hang on to this book for our salvation, because it's only in this book that we are told that we are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's only in this book that we're told there's a penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. It's only in this book that we're told how much God loved us when we were sinners. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it's only in this book that the invitation of God is given that anybody that comes to God, that puts their faith in Jesus Christ and believes on him, will be saved from the penalty of sin and saved to eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, only in this book will you find that universal invitation, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That truth is repeated over and over and over in this book. It starts in the book of Genesis, goes through the book of Malachi, starts again in the book of Matthew, goes to the book of Revelation. It tells us in every single book, either in direct words or in pictures that God paints about salvation, that if we believe in Jesus Christ, we will be saved from the penalty and the condemnation of sin. I'm going to hang on to this book. I encourage you to hang on to this book. This is where we get salvation from. Satan's going to do everything he can to try to get you to reject Christ. He is. I mean, he's going to be in hell forever. He wants to take as many people with him as he can. And so he's going to take, hey, let go of this book. There's other ways to get saved. There's other ways to get right with God. There's other ways that you can get your sins taken care of. We ought to take this book and we ought to chop him to pieces. I wish we could, but figuratively, we ought to chop Satan to pieces. We ought to remind him what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You don't get saved any other way. Hang on to this sword. Hang on to this book. Hang on to the Bible, because we get our salvation from here. Second part, hang on to this sword for the strength of your life today. God has a purpose for every one of our lives. In Ephesians 2:10, the Bible says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God never asked us to do anything without giving us the ability and the strength to do it. That's a promise of God. He never asked us to do anything without giving us the strength to do it. In Philippians 4:13, the Bible says, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How do I get that strength? How do I appropriate that strength? How do I get that strength that God has for me today to do those things that he's called for me today? This book tells us how to get it. This book says in the book of Isaiah, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. Now, many people read that verse and say, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to wait on the Lord. And when he gives me strength, then I'll get up and start serving him. You're missing the point of that verse. That verse doesn't mean you sit down and wait. That word wait is where we get our word waitress or waiter from. It means I start serving God, and then he renews my strength. That's where we get our strength. We don't get our strength by sitting down and waiting for God to impart strength to us. We get our strength when we start serving God, and as God sees us serving him, he gives us strength to serve him. Now again, Satan will tell you, oh yeah, just sit down. Wait till God strengthens you before you get up. Wait till God gives you the strength before you try to do anything for him. I wish we could take this book. I wish we could cut his head off. I wish we could, like David, take this sword and chop our enemy's head off like he did to the Philistine Goliath. I wish we could do that. But we can do that when we believe this book. Get up, start serving God, and wait for him to renew our strength. Hang on to this sword. Hang on. Cleave your hand to the sword, to the book. It's where we get our salvation. It's where we get our strength for today. And then the third part of my message is this. It's where we get our hope for tomorrow. It's where we get our hope for tomorrow. Jesus said in John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Amen. I believe in eternity. I believe when this body dies and I leave this earth, I am going out into a time that lasts forever. I believe there's only one of two places you go when you go into eternity. I believe you either go to heaven to be with God, or I believe you go to hell to suffer the punishment and the condemnation of sin. There's no other place. There's no purgatory. There's no in-between. When you leave this earth, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And if you don't know Christ, you're going to be like that rich man that died that Jesus told the story about in Luke chapter 16. He lifted up his eyes in hell from the burning fire. He looked across a great gulf. He saw the beggar who died at the same time, Lazarus, with him, resting in Abraham's bosom. And he begged for somebody he said to Abraham, "Send Lazarus so that he can just dip the tip of his finger in water and come cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames." Don't you listen to the lie of the devil that hell is just a figment of our imagination. Hell is as real as this place is. Hell is as real as heaven is. And those that don't know Christ are going to suffer there for eternity. Now, we get to choose. You and I get to choose where we go for eternity. We get to choose heaven or we get to choose hell. I don't know about you. I'm choosing heaven. Amen. Only a fool would choose hell. I mean, the Bible tells us about both places. Heaven, street of gold, gates of pearl. Everything is just right in heaven. There's no night. There's no pain. There's no goodbyes. There's no separation. There's singing. There's rejoicing. We get to be with Jesus Christ. We get to be with God the Father. Amen. I mean, heaven's a wonderful place. Hell is terrible. Bible talks about hell. It's a bottomless pit. Dark. Fire. Place where the worm dieth not. Where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The home of Satan and all his demons. Now, I don't know why anybody in their right mind would choose hell over heaven. Again, I think a fool would only make the choice of hell over heaven, and that's not my term. That's a Bible term, because the Bible says, only a fool says there is no God. Amen. Only a fool. My hope for tomorrow is based on this book. I'm going to hang on to this book. I'm going to hang on to John chapter 14. I'm going to hang on to the passages in Revelation that talk about heaven. I'm going to hang on to the passages of this book that remind me that if I trusted Jesus Christ, I have heaven to look forward to. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. The Bible says that Eleazar's hand clave unto the sword. He had held it so long and so tight in his battle against the Philistines that when the battle was over, he could not open his hand. His hand clave to the sword. I know it's probably not possible, but when I get to heaven, I hope I have this in my hand, and I hope God has to pry my fingers off of it to get out of my hand. I want to hang on to it so tight. I want to hang on to it for my salvation. I want to hang on to it for strength for the day. And I want to hang on to it for hope for tomorrow. Cleave to the sword. Amen. You hang on to this book. Hang on like your life depends on it, because it does. This is God's sword. This is the weapon he wants us to use to fight the battle against Satan. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that he gives us. Thank you for the examples that we have of men like Eleazar who fought your battles and won your battles. And he did so by being obedient to you. And I pray that as we fight the battles that you've given us to fight, that we'd follow his example. We put on that whole armor of God and we take the sword of the Lord, the Bible, your word, and our hands would cleave to it. And we'd fight the battles that you call us to fight, just like Jesus did with this word. Father, I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, help them to understand that it's only the Bible that tells them that they're a sinner. Only the Bible tells them there's a penalty for that sin. Only the Bible tells them how much God loves them. Only the Bible tells them how Jesus died in their place. And only the Bible invites them to come to Christ. He'll pay for their sins. He'll make them right before you. And if there's even just one here this morning that's never made that decision, help them to come in just a moment, receiving Christ as their Savior. And then I pray for the many Christians that are here. Thank you for reminding us of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for reminding us of what we have in your word. Help us never take it for granted. Help us never to ignore it. Help us to cleave to it. Just like Eleazar cleaved to his sword, help us to cleave to this book. Hang on to it. Study it. Read it. Memorize it. And use it as we live our lives for you. I pray that you bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.